To this series and looking at this first book of the Bible and looking at some of the major stories that really our faith is built upon. And last week we were introduced to Abram, who later his name turns to Abraham. We're going to talk about that today in chapter 17. But we learned about Abraham, and he is the father of the Israelites. He is Father Abraham. He married Sarah, her name turns to Sarah. And really, Genesis 12, all the way through the end of the book, through 50 chapters, 12 through 50, it's the story of how God blesses this family. And it's their story. It's their story. And what we learn when we read Genesis is that their story is very similar to our story, in that God wants and desires a relationship with them, and that He will do whatever it takes to establish and maintain this relationship with His children, with His people. And today's theme, our topic, what we're talking about today, is perfectly aligned with this idea that God wants a relationship with us. And we're talking about covenants. Covenant, specifically God's covenant with Abraham. And a covenant is simply an agreement between two parties. It's an agreement between two parties. And while God makes covenant with individuals, that we see when we read the book of Genesis, He makes these covenants with individuals, these covenants impact more than that individual. So God makes a covenant with Abraham, but it impacts Abraham's children, his grandchildren, and their own, and thus impacts us. Now, it's interesting, when you look in Genesis, and actually the Old Testament, there are several individuals He has individual covenants with. He has a covenant with Noah. He has a covenant with Abraham. He has a covenant with Moses. Has a covenant with David. And so He carries this theme of covenant with his people. And so this morning, what I want us to focus on, I want us to look in chapter 17. We're going to go back to chapter 15, but chapters 12, 15, and 17 are the three chapters that specifically talk about God's covenant with Abraham. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to chapter 17. I'm going to read just the first few verses of this chapter. This is Genesis 17, 1 through 9. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. I will be their God." Friends, the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever and ever. Let's pray. God, we ask now that in these next few moments that you would indeed use this time to speak to us. God, we know that you have a word for us today. We want to hear from you. Speak and speak clearly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was reflecting this week on the number of weddings that I've officiated over the years. Now, I was ordained in 1993 by the church. And since 1993, in my head, I was going through the years. I've done close to 200 weddings since 1993. And I want you to know, I've officiated at some strange weddings. I just want to just let you know that. I don't know if you've ever been to a wedding that surprised you or you thought, I cannot believe this is happening at this wedding. But I've had that experience. I did one wedding where we were out in a pasture area, and the bride, I'm not making this up, the bride arrives to the wedding sitting on a bass boat trailer pulled by her father, who's driving an off-road four-wheeler, pulls her up to the front of the... You like that, Randy? That's your kind of wedding, huh? And so that was a wedding that I attended. I thought, now this is not every day that you get this. Beth and I were laughing this week. I did a wedding on Halloween. And the bride and groom told their guests to dress up in their Halloween costumes. And they show up at the wedding in all these different costumes. Yeah, that's not your average wedding. I was at a wedding where a dog was the best man. And when it got time for the rings, the owner of the dog whistled, and this beautiful lab comes running. He's got a stick in its mouth, and the stick has two rings tied to it. And he takes the groom takes the sticks and takes the rings off the stick. Of course, one that happened just a couple of years ago, it was a wedding at the Chattahoochee. Notice there's a theme. All of these crazy weddings are outside the church. But anyway, that's another topic for another day. But the Chattahoochee is flowing behind me. I'm standing at this, it's like a park area, but the Chattahoochee is behind me. And this bride and the groom, they're in front of me. And then, of course, everybody is seated there. And it's clearly a wedding. Clear when people are floating down the Chattahoochee. You know, they know it's a wedding. And I'm dearly beloved. We're gathered together here in the sight of God in the presence of these witnesses to join together so-and-so and so-and-so in holy matrimony. And I'm going through the order of worship. And these guys who are floating down the Chattahoochee who had too much to drink at this point, they're screaming, "Don't do it! It's not worth it! Don't do it! Don't do it!" Yeah, that's not your normal wedding. I just want you to know that doesn't happen in your normal wedding. So I've officiated a lot of these weddings, and some are normal, but some are a little strange. But there's a point in every wedding that I've officiated. Every wedding, there's a point in the service, in the worship service, where the groom pledges himself to his bride, and the bride pledges herself to the groom. I mean, they give of themselves to each other. Now, if you've ever been married in the eyes of God, you know there's a moment where you say, I am in this for the long haul. I'm in this with you forever. You make that vow before God and before your family and your friends. You make this covenant. The Bible specifically calls it, you know, holy matrimony or a holy marriage covenant. And you make that vow to each other. It's not a contract. You see, there's a difference between a contract and a covenant. A contract has a complete set of terms, and it's an exchange. I will do this for you if you'll do this for me, and there's a timetable on it. If you go and you go to the bank and you borrow money to buy a home, you sign a contract so that you're gonna pay for this house. And there's terms, right, Denise? There's terms to this. And so here are the terms. You're gonna have this much money, this percentage. You're gonna pay this amount of dollars to the bank every month for so many months. But then at the end of that month, the contract is void. After you've paid it, it's over. The contract ends. Well, in a covenant, there's no end to a covenant. When someone establishes a covenant with you, you're talking about forever. You're talking about something that doesn't have a timetable. It's not a transaction, but rather we're in this together for the long haul, forever. That's a covenant. Now, this idea of covenant is first introduced in the book of Genesis. And the word covenant comes from a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word is berith. And it's B-E-R-I-T-H, berith. And the idea of this word covenant, the root word is to cut. That's the root word of covenant. And so when you were reading about God's covenant, God's cutting with Abraham, this merging together, creating a relationship together, we first read what happens in chapter 15 in Genesis. If you look back to 15, when God says, I want to have a covenant with you, Abraham, Abraham gathers these animals. And this is in the book. It's in chapter 15. He takes these animals and he sacrifices these animals. And he cuts the animals in half. And in tradition of a covenant, during biblical times, when an animal was part of a covenant and it was sacrificed, it was split in two, the blood was in the middle, and the two parties who were agreeing to the covenant would literally walk through the animals that were split. They would walk through the blood, with each other. And the idea was that together, we are in this covenant together. And if one of us breaks the covenant, the implication is we will be like one of these animals. We will be like one of these animals that dies in here. And so we read about that cutting in chapter 15 and chapter 17. It's not a coincidence when God says to Abraham, I'm establishing this covenant, he says, you will be circumcised. Your children, male children, will be circumcised. All your descendants, all those that are under your care, will be circumcised. And so there's a cutting that takes place. So the idea is that there is some blood that is shed in this covenant. The covenant between God and His people, there's a sense of we're in this together. There's a cutting and we're in this together forever. And God is saying, I'm choosing you. You and I want this covenant with you. In the Scriptures, it's interesting, all throughout the Old Testament, when there's a covenant, it's not man saying, hey, I want a covenant with you, God. It's always God saying, I'm choosing you to have a covenant. And so the main idea that I want us to think around this morning is this. God establishes a covenant with those He chooses as family. He establishes a covenant with those He chooses as family. I grew up in a home where there was a sacred place in our home. And that sacred place was the kitchen table. I mean, I think all of the important conversations that took place in my family growing up took place around the kitchen table. Now, our kitchen table had certain rules. You always had to have a shirt on. Now, we were all boys. There's three boys in my family. You always had to go to the table. You had to have a shirt on, and you couldn't have a hat on. That was just part of our family rules around the table. And I had a seat, and there's five of us. The table was round. I sat here. My older brother sat to my right. My younger brother sat to my left. Dad sat here, and Mom sat here. And the craziest thing is, you know, I'm 50 years old. I turned 51 this week on Friday this week. I turned 51. When I go back to the house, guess where everybody sits? I sit here. Dad sits here. Mom sits here. Johnny sits over here. Walt sits here. Now it's Johnny and Johnny's wife sits here. Walt's wife sits here. I sit here. Beth beside me. Mom. And so we're all gathered around this table. Still today, we have our seats. It was like my chair. This was where I was assigned to sit around this sacred place. Mom had the gift, and still does, has the gift of hospitality. So it was very unusual. I mean, it was very common, not unusual at all, to have people in our home. I mean, they would come after church on Sunday morning, after church on Sunday nights, throughout the week. My buddies would all hang out there. There was always room at the table for everybody who came into the house. I mean, it was a sacred place. And I remember thinking, I remember having the thought that, you know what, when I was upset with my parents for them disciplining me, or I was fighting with my brothers, and it came dinner time, we still all ate around the table. Even when I was not real happy with my family or things were not, you know what? We came together around the table as a family because I had a seat at the table. I had a seat in this family. If we could ever grasp the idea that God has given each of us a seat around the table, around the kitchen table, His kitchen table, His family. You know, our lives would be forever changed. You know, God makes it clear that when He establishes covenant with us, when He says, I want a covenant with you, He's giving us a place at His table. He's saying, you belong to me. I belong to you and you belong to me. And we all know that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Family's family, right? And God is saying, you are part of my family. But here's the tension for us this morning. And it's simply this. For many, deep down, we don't believe we deserve to be seated at the table. Deep down, based on our past lives, based on decisions we've made, based on just regret that we can just roll over in our minds, we don't believe that God has truly offered us a seat at His table. And the dangerous thing about believing that we don't deserve or don't have a seat at the table, then we begin acting as if God doesn't exist. That's the consequences of not truly grasping that we're part of God's family, that truly grasping that He has covenant with us. We begin acting as if God doesn't exist. I know in my own life, I can trace all of my regrets back to times when, for a moment, I had forgotten that I had a seat at the table, and I've acted as if God didn't exist. Every time, I can trace it back to that. And the reality is, some here today, perhaps you're in a season where you've questioned, you know, should I be at this table or not? Does God really want me as His child? And when you fail to say yes to that, you too have found yourself acting, making decisions as if God doesn't exist. If you're here today and you've struggled in your life, you've struggled with, am I accepted in God's family? Do I have covenant with God? Has He chosen me? If you've struggled, you have come on the right day. You've come to worship on the right day, because today's message is about God's covenant. God choosing you and God choosing me to be part of his family and what that means for us and how we can live our lives today knowing that we're part of God's family. The first thing that I want to talk about with covenant is simply this. God's covenant with us is based on intimacy. Now, in chapter 17, it's easy to overlook this. If you look at in the very first verse, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, and listen to what he says, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." He says, "I am God Almighty." Now, this is a different greeting. Most of the time, God says, "I'm Yahweh, I am God." But God Almighty is, in the Hebrew, is Elohim. It's one of the names of God. And God is saying, I'm revealing myself, I'm giving my name, I'm telling you who I am. I am, and he's revealing that. One of the commentaries said this, the fact that God would reveal his name to Abram implied that God wanted a personal, intimate relationship with Abram. That he wanted to connect with Abraham on a personal level. It's not just God Almighty. And God Almighty and the Elohim, it means that God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. And humanity, us, we are not. It's the comparing of the two. But the idea that God revealed his name, that was an intimate move for God to make to Abraham, to say, I want this relationship with you. My favorite author right now is a guy named Dallas Willard, and he writes about intimacy with God, and he just simply says, intimacy is a shared experience. That's what intimacy is. And what God is saying here to Abraham, we are together in this. This covenant is a shared experience with each other. One of the promises that you see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see this phrase repeated over and over and over again, is the phrase, "I am with you. I am with you." There's an overarching theme that what God, when he wants in a relationship with us, he wants us to have a relationship with him, the goal is to remind us that he is with us. I do a lot. It's amazing the number of phone calls I take each week and people that I talk to who are going through hard, difficult times. And my prayer for them, my prayer always includes that, and I'm praying for the person and I'm asking God, remind her, remind him that you're with him, that you are with her, that they are not alone on this journey, that you are with him. You're a God who wants an intimate relationship with us. So this verse 1 of chapter 17, I mean, God is showing that this covenant is based on an intimate relationship, that God is with you on this journey. The second thing I want to share about covenant is that God's covenant with us is based on his faithfulness, not our obedience. It's based on his faithfulness, not our obedience. Now, if you go back to chapter 15, where the animals are split, a very interesting thing happens in the text here. So Abraham has taken these animals. He has split these animals. There's blood in the middle. And so traditionally, both parties come together again to walk through, all right, to walk through these animals. Well, what happens in chapter 15, Abram goes into this deep sleep, and he is asleep. And while he is asleep, this is what the text says, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed through the pieces of the animals, passed through the pieces. So get the image here. Abraham, God has said, I want this tree, I want this covenant with you, we're in this together. Abram falls into this deep sleep. The animals are split, and all of a sudden, this flame. Remember, fire was a sign of God. That was a symbol of God in the Old Testament. This fire appears, this torch, and it walks through the animals by itself without Abraham. It's as if God is saying, Abraham, I want to have this covenant with you. I also know that you and your descendants will not always be faithful, but I still choose you. I still want to have covenant with you. I still want to give you a seat at the table. One of the best news of the gospel is this, that God chooses you, God chooses me, not because of our faithfulness, but because of His faithfulness. That's good news. That is good news because no one fulfills their role in the covenant. You've not fulfilled your role. I don't fulfill my role. We do fall. We do fall. We do sin. But God continues to choose us based on His faithfulness, not our faithfulness. And very briefly, the last thing I want to share about this is that God's covenant with us changes our life's course. When God says, I want to establish this covenant with you, says in verse 3, Abraham fell face down, this posture of complete allegiance to God. He falls face down in reverence of God. And God establishes this covenant, and then these changes start taking place. It says that, Abram, your name now will be Abraham. Abraham means the father of many. Abraham means the father of many nations. It's as if he says, you know, yes, you're going to be the father of many, but because I have covenant with you, you're going to be the father of many nations. He ups the ante. He says, you're going to be this great leader. You're going to be the father of all God's, of all of my children because of this covenant. Sarah, her name changes to Sarah. God says, I'm going to give you this, all these descendants. I'm going to give you a son between the two of you. Keep in mind, he's 99 at the time. I'm going to give you a son. His name is Isaac. We're going to talk about him next week. I'm going to give you all this land. I promise you this. You've heard of the promised land. Oh, they've made it to the promised land. It comes from this story here. The promised land is the land that God has promised to Abraham. It's the promised land. You're going to live in this, and it's going to be your land because of this covenant. Because of what? Because of the cutting. Because of the blood. And I want you to fast forward somewhere between 12 to 1400 years. And Jesus is with His disciples. You read of this in Luke 22. It's the night before His crucifixion. And Jesus picks the cup up and He says this, and I'm quoting from Luke 22:20. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So you're part of the covenant, but it's not based on the blood of these animals. You're now part of the new covenant based on my blood. And you have a seat at the table. I choose you. I want you to be in my family. Scott's going to come up, and Brandon. Scott has written a song that talks about Abba Father. And why don't you share a little about that, Scott?
Well, I write a lot of songs, and every now and then, I think one is worthy of going into the studio and recording, and I had one prepared, and then a longtime friend and pastor, a friend of mine in California, called, and he said, "Hey, I've got a song